Well, I must confess to being somewhat confronted by the reading today. Confronted in a sense of being challenged by this whole reference to the fact that the disciples' hearts were hardened in their relationship with Jesus. I think in our own lives that when we are confused, perhaps with a situation or a relationship with someone or something that is going on, that we can either stay in that neutral place, I suppose, of being confused, or else we form a judgment, and perhaps in that judgment about the situation or the person, that then our hearts can become somewhat hardened to what is going on. We may do that out of confusion. But what about the disciples at this stage? This state of confusion that Mark is recording, that there is a hardness of heart. Can I suggest that at this stage in their journey with Jesus that they did not truly trust Jesus, and of course they were still working out who Jesus truly was? I suspect that we all may have heard a description given about someone that they're hard-hearted. And a rather confronting definition I came upon during the week from the Britannica Dictionary says this about what it is to be hard-hearted. It is to have no kindness or sympathy for other people. To have no kindness or sympathy for other people. There are some references in the scriptures about hard-heartedness, being hard-hearted. If we think back to the Old Testament, Pharaoh was referenced as being hard-hearted, as when Moses would go to Pharaoh and seek the release of the people of Israel from their slavery there in Egypt. Each time he went, the scripture records for us in the first five plagues that Pharaoh's heart was hard. And then in plagues 6 through to 10, it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's heart was hard in the first place, and it seems that God just confirmed in God's purposes that his heart would continue to be hard. There was no kindness or sympathy in Pharaoh for the people of Israel. I'm sure that none of us wants to be labelled or to be described as a hard-hearted person. Again, and I think we have a slide for this, so I don't have the clicker this morning. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew about people who don't receive his message, which fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He said this, and from the New Living Translation, "For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. They have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them." There is no true relationship with God with a hard heart. We also know, just digressing for a second, that having a hard heart in a physical sense is no good for us. Having arteries that get hardened is no good for us, you know. Whether we indulge too much of the wrong food that we might do, or some other aspects of our living that create that, then it's not good for us. So obviously, whether it's the physical or the spiritual, in the relationship we have with each other and the relationship that we have with God, having a hard heart is not good for you. So let us think about it from our scripture today, what we can do to defeat the presence of a hard heart in our living. So we have to set the scene from earlier in chapter 6, from the reading that we heard today. And I'm sure that you have heard this reading in recent weeks. That after the disciples had come to Jesus and told him what they'd done, what they'd taught, how they had ministered, that a large crowd gathers around Jesus, which constantly seems to be happening. And the scripture tells us that Jesus had compassion on the crowd that was gathering. And if we were to look into the Gospels, we would see that Jesus would have compassion on people. And it's recorded over and over and over. And it's recorded that he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. So he wanted to do something for the people. And so he starts to teach the people. To cut the story short, the hour gets late, it's time for the people to be fed. And we know that from the 5 loaves and 2 fish, which hardly seems enough to feed the gathered crowd, that that happens. And Jesus gives thanks for what they have, feeds the people. And so we come to our passage today. Jesus sending the disciples away from the crowd of people to travel across the Sea of Galilee, from Bethsaida to Gennesaret. Jesus himself goes up the mountainside to pray, can I suggest, restoring himself, wants to interact with the Father. A storm comes up, and from Jesus' vantage point, can see that his disciples are in a bit of trouble, and he goes out onto the Sea of Galilee to help them. That's what we heard in the scripture. And from this incident and what happens when they get to Gennesaret, can I suggest a couple of things that we can learn about what it is to defeat hard-heartedness, having a hard heart in our living. First of all, we defeat hardness of heart by trusting Jesus. We defeat hardness of heart by trusting Jesus. So back to our scripture, just for a moment, of which we've heard this morning. We get the image in our minds of the disciples rowing across the Sea of Galilee, straining at the oars. I believe the journey may have been something like 4 miles. And because the wind was against them, things were difficult. We should note that it was Jesus who sent them out on the boat. Jesus was the one who sent them out on the Sea of Galilee. And so he sees that they are in trouble and he responds, going out onto the water, forgets his own situation and moves on from his time of prayer. He sees that his friends are in a degree of difficulty, the disciples out there, and he goes to their aid. And then we get this reference from Mark, which is, I guess, the cornerstone of where we're going this morning, after Jesus helps them, that we are told that they did not understand the miracle of the loaves and that their hearts were hardened. If we pause for a moment, the disciples in their confused state about what Jesus is doing, who Jesus is, that they are certainly lacking some trust in Jesus at this moment. When he tells them to give the crowd something to eat earlier in chapter 6, they complain that feeding the crowd would take 8 months' wages. They do not reference what Jesus might do. There is a lack of trust. And given that it is Jesus who has sent them out on the boat to cross the Sea of Galilee, again, can I suggest that there's a lack of trust in their situation as what goes on the Sea of Galilee gets difficult for them. They don't think that Jesus has sent us out on the boat. Despite what might happen, all will be well. They don't have that trust. They don't think that Jesus has sent them out on the boat, that all will be well. And then, as we heard in the scripture this morning, Jesus turns up to help them. And they think that it is a ghost walking on the sea. They are so afraid. In Jewish thinking, if you actually saw a ghost or a spirit, it was a sign that they believed that a calamity was soon to occur. And so you can imagine some of their fear out there on the Sea of Galilee. Well, we know that Jesus doesn't pass them by as he's on the Sea of Galilee. He goes into the boat and calms the sea. Their hearts have been hardened. They've not trusted Jesus yet. With the miracle of the loaves and in their fear and what has gone on in the Sea of Galilee, they have not trusted Jesus. In our own situations, perhaps at times when things do not go well for us, whether a friend disappoints us, perhaps illness comes, or just the stuff of life that is difficult to cope with, our hearts can become hardened. We analyse what is going on, whether it's a relationship with someone, or why have I got this illness at this time, or this situation is difficult to cope with, and our hearts can become hardened in the situation. As I said at the start, I have been confronted by this because I can put myself in that situation that when things don't go well, that you get this Western analytical view and you try to weigh up what's going on. But what is needed is to trust Jesus. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, and I think we have another slide for that this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In any relationship, true trust of the other person engages the heart. I was thinking about this in my preparation for this morning, and I thought about my parents who have died quite a few years ago. But in their marriage, they both believed that the other person would act in their best interest. Their hearts were engaged in the relationship. And that engagement of heart brought trust. The engagement of heart brought trust to each other. Let me just reference one example from my mother for a few moments and one from my father. My mother trusted my father when he brought the family to Australia from England all those years ago in 1971. He'd been to Australia earlier for a couple of years in the early 1950s, a long time ago, went back to England because the family, his mum and dad and himself, found themselves running a family business. But he outlined the vision to my mother back in 1971 to take two young children and herself across to Australia. And she trusted him. The heart was engaged and she trusted him. My father trusted my mother when she would protect him from stressful situations. He had a heart attack at the age of 49 that required bypass surgery. And if my mother told him, and his name was David, and if she said to him, "David, it's time to go," in a stressful situation after he'd had the heart attack, he would go. He would leave the situation. He would obey my mother because his heart was engaged and he trusted her in the relationship. People who truly engage the heart in a trusting relationship do not have hardness of heart. Now back to those disciples, they would defeat this hardness of heart that Mark writes about as they realised that Jesus wanted the best for them. And if we were, and we don't have time obviously, but if we were to read to the end of the Gospel, if we were to get into the Acts of the Apostles and some of the stuff that they did in leading the early church, we would see that the hardness of heart was gone. We would see that it was gone, that they truly trusted Jesus. And what a task that Jesus gave to them, the proclaiming to people of the kingdom of God, that an eternal relationship with God is entirely possible. So I think the first lesson that we learn from the scripture this morning is we defeat hardness of heart by trusting Jesus. Secondly, we defeat hardness of heart by truly understanding who Jesus is. By truly understanding who Jesus is. And so we come to the second part of the scripture that we heard read to us this morning. The disciples, with Jesus on board the boat, safely journey across the Sea of Galilee. They land, and as soon as they do, people recognize who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who can bring healing. The word gets out, Jesus is here. And the sick people come, their friends and their family perhaps bringing the sick people along. Jesus is the one who can heal. And we can understand people's desire to get healed in our own lives. When we are sick, what do we want? We want to get better. So we can understand people's desire to get healed. And if you were infirmed in the days of Jesus, there was something wrong with you, your future was bleak, medical science hadn't progressed very far, if your family didn't look after you, or your circle of friends, perhaps you might end out on the street begging. So when Jesus comes on the scene, you can understand why the people gather. That life will be different if Jesus can heal me. The truth is, and I found this rather confronting as well, that the people come to Jesus to use Jesus. They come to Jesus to use Jesus so that they can be healed. There's nothing particularly wrong in that. But there's never a sense in the scripture that is before us today that the people getting healed or the family and friends who are bringing the people to be healed have any desire to become a disciple of Jesus, to become a follower of Jesus. We're not taught that. The truth is, yes, people need healing, but they needed much more. They needed to truly understand who Jesus is. And that would have brought them into the opportunity of real relationship with God. They needed a revelation like John the Baptist had about Jesus in the Gospel of John. And we have another slide for that one this morning as well. From John 1, 29 to 31. John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's what the people needed to understand. Finish reading the scripture there. "He is the one I was talking about when I said a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am. He existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel," that he might be revealed to the people of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what the people needed to understand. We defeat hardness of heart by truly understanding who Jesus is. The reality of the situation that we heard in the scripture today with people coming to Jesus was that they didn't understand who Jesus was at this stage. And like the disciples who failed to truly trust Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000 and after they find themselves out on the Sea of Galilee, remembering that they were sent by Jesus on this journey, these people come for healing. Can I suggest also that in not understanding truly who Jesus is, that there was a hardness of heart that doesn't seek, they're not seeking to truly understand who Jesus is. Friends, ministry for myself has meant meeting lots of people over the years. And it's true that understanding the backstory to what has happened in someone's life then allows us as people to form a healthy relationship with that person, rather than putting on the Western analytical view that makes a judgment call on what is presented before us from what we observe of someone's conduct and their speech without perhaps truly understanding them. In my first ministry placement, I found myself in Huonville. Huonville, 40 kilometres south of Hobart, the lovely Huon Valley. It's a good place to live. And my next door neighbour in the house next to the church house went to the church, and the church was just across the road. So you can imagine that it was a small community. So her name was Marjorie Talbot, and she went to the church across the road. And she'd had a difficult relationship with the previous ministers, so much so that they had planted large plants along the back fence line so that she couldn't see into the backyard of when they were out and about doing things. And these were massive plants that they had dug holes in the ground, put them in, and myself was left to tend these plants. But let me tell you, I remember Marge with fondness, but she could still look over the fence on a Saturday. I was a single man, which was do your washing on a Saturday. And when I would hang my washing out on the line on a Saturday, she would tell me, "You're not doing it right. You're not hanging your washing out on the line right." However, as I got to know Marge, I realised that she was still mourning her husband's death. And she was just a bit lonely. And as I got to know her better, it resulted in some lunch invitations after church on Sunday with some other members of the church. On occasion, she'd say, "Howard, what about coming to lunch today?" And I would go and have lunch in her house there. And it also meant that on occasions, because I wasn't very proficient in the garden, that she would look at the roses in front of the church house of which I was in, and she would say, "Those roses need pruning. Do you want me to do it?" And I would say, "Yes, please, prune those roses." She had one of the best gardens in Huonville, so I thought this would be good. The roses will look really good. Forming a healthy relationship occurred out of understanding her backstory, which meant that there was no hardness of heart from my situation to Marjorie. And I look back now in fondness. I don't look back at her as the lady who the previous ministers had planted these plants so that she couldn't see into the backyard. Friends, we will not be indifferent to Jesus, which is to have a hard heart, when we truly understand who Jesus is. When we truly understand who Jesus is and what he has done for us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." My father-in-law was 93 during the last week. He had his 93rd birthday. And on occasions, even though he's 93, he still goes to have a heart checkup. We should do the same with our relationship with Jesus. We should have a heart checkup to ensure that there is no hardness of heart creeping in. We should check our hearts. We should ask ourselves, am I trusting Jesus? Am I trusting Jesus in my living? When things go well and when things don't go well, am I trusting Jesus in my living? That's what we need to examine ourselves with. And also, we should ask ourselves, do I truly understand who Jesus is? And is that seen in how I live my life? Do I live my life with the certainty of an eternal relationship with Jesus because I understand who Jesus is? Trusting and understanding Jesus is the way to a healthy spiritual heart. It is the way to defeat hardness of heart. May that be true for all of us here today. Let me pray as I conclude the message today. Gracious God, we come before you this morning and we give thanks for your holy scriptures that speak to us. We give thanks for the love that you have shown to us in the revelation of Jesus coming into the world, that we can have an eternal relationship. And our prayer would be collectively here this morning that as we live each day in this life that you have gifted us, that indeed that our trust of Jesus would be evident in all that we say and do. And our prayer would also be that there would be a witness in our life to understanding truly who Jesus is and what that means for us and what that can mean for others, that Jesus calls into relationship, to eternal life. May our hearts be open to the conviction of your Holy Spirit in these areas. And may we be the people that you want us to be as we live in the communities that we find ourselves in. And we pray this in the name of Jesus our Saviour. Amen.